the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it's Sunday, August 16th, 2020.
The day before the playoffs. It's playoffs eve.
Yeah. Lots of big stuff about to happen.
Yeah, normally it's like draft eve, but we're here in playoffs eve. And yes, large stuff has happened to me this week. Real important life news, and I want to throw it out there just to anybody who's listening on the podcast. Yes, I did predict exactly how many wins the Lakers were going to have this season at 52 wins. I want to say thank you to my fans, to my family, to my friends. Yep. This is the win I was looking for. As soon as the NBA allows there to be custom jerseys again, because they stopped because everyone was making free Hong Kong jerseys, so they shut off the custom jerseys option.
Wow.
As soon as that happens, I'm getting a Lawrence 52 jersey, because the winner of our playoff or our season-long Lakers wins projection gets the jersey and the number of wins that they predicted. So,
what were some of the other guesses?
A lot of the guesses were real close. There was a point when they were 5 games ago or 3 games ago or something where it could have gone any way, and people had guessed 51, or the people had guessed 50, 51, 52, 53, 54. Like, the guesses were all in the 50s to low 60s.
I was going
to
say, what, the high one was 60-something?
I think the high one was about 60, yeah.
Okay, so basically your whole entire crew was not putting enough value on, say, an Anthony Davis type.
Yeah, we took Anthony Davis as we love it, but I think we're just, a little sad about losing Josh Hart and B.I. and Lonzo Ball, much like we were at the end of this last season. We wanted our Laker boys to stay Laker boys forever, but turns out everybody's got to grow up. So that was my big news this week. Big, huge news until yesterday when I asked my partner Elizabeth to marry me, and she said yes. So it's a Rule of Three celebration.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Definitely the biggest and best thing to happen to you this week was that you won that Lakers prediction thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other stuff we'd been planning, we'd been talking about it. The Lakers thing could have gone either way. I was pretty sure that she was going to say yes, because we had talked about it. We had already agreed on what our plans were for setting up a wedding over Zoom through the pandemic with the state.
Right.
That being said, if Kyle Kuzma doesn't hit that last minute three-pointer,
Maybe the true triumph of this week doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance that just is not what happens. So
also, I would say that in traditional Rule of Threes custom, seems like a third thing also happened to you this week, which is that you started playing Fall Guys, which I can see on the screen behind you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as I'm sure everybody knows, Fall Guys is the brand new game that's out for PlayStation 4 and PC. You love it. You love to see it. I actually was playing it with my fiance, and she said that she thought it looked really funny and cute. So I had her play one, and she doesn't know how to use the right stick to move the camera.
Yes.
So she got last place in the first round.
What's your top finish?
I've won twice.
Whoa.
Yeah. I won 2 times in a row the first night it came out.
Wow. I got like 17th once.
Nice. Yeah. Today I got a second place and a fifth place today as well.
Whoa, you're the ninja of Fall Guys.
Oh, what can I say? I mean, hey, if there's one thing that I could be the ninja of, I'd rather it be Fall Guys than actually being ninja. Gross. Oh,
I think it'd be fine for you to be ninja.
No, they have weird relationship issues with he and his wife, where he's not allowed to stream with women.
Oh, I didn't know any. I don't know any of
that. They're I don't know if ninja is religious in a way.
Pence type.
I'm not sure, but that
you're getting Mike Pence vibes from Ninja, basically.
A little bit.
I've always said Mike Pence is the ninja of civics, of United States civics.
I do not think that this Google search is going to turn up correctly. But what religion is ninja is what I just typed into Google.
Right, and it should say says ancient Japanese
ninja thing. Beliefs show the influence of Buddhism with a mixture of Shinto. So
Shinto is the word I was looking for. Yes. Similarly, I finished 17th in my first game of Hyperscape.
Oh, which is
a new first-person shooter battle royale that is very cool. The map is very cool. The style is very cool. I've played about 6 games, still have not killed anyone. I have spent entire games where I didn't meet anyone until all of a sudden I got shot out of the blue. It's like the potential for the city map in the world is very interesting and cool. The game itself doesn't seem very fun yet because in that game you auto heal. So when you aren't damaged for a certain amount of time, you heal. And so basically you just run. Whenever someone shoots you, and that's what everyone does. They just run. So, but the actual like style of it is very neat, and it's the kind of map where it's a city, it's all these city blocks, and you actually feel like you're in buildings, like you feel like you could be stealthy and like sort of, you know, accumulate items and stuff. Like there's a neat element to the map that like feels like you can actually hide, but literally you'll go like 7 minutes and then be like, oh, the game's almost over, you haven't seen anybody, and now you're dead. Oh, and you got 12th. So
doesn't sound like fun.
No, you know what? I was going to say what doesn't sound like fun is being a Washington Wizard, but they did win a game. They won a game.
They did that last day, man. When the Kings can beat the Lakers, anything can happen, including me winning my preseason prediction that would have been good at any time. I'll bet if the season had gone on normally, they would have only won 3 games the rest of the season. It was going to be great. It's very funny how we ended up just saying, oh yeah, everything counts with COVID. We predicted COVID. So what this means is that I predicted COVID. Uh-huh. I predicted the Lakers would win 52 games because of COVID retroactively. That was I predicted.
So a couple things. One, Pat Bev has got to be sad.
Very sad.
Because Pat Bev was like, countdown 3 games and then the Portland Trailblazers are going to Cancun or whatever.
Exactly. That didn't happen, and it was so close to happening.
Oh yeah, I watched the play-in. So because the 8th and 9th seeds in the Western Conference were within, I believe, 4 games of each other.
Yeah.
There was automatically a play-in for the 8th slot in the Western Conference, which is something have we seen this before? We certainly haven't seen like a double elimination situation before.
I mean, in the NBA, no. This is unprecedented.
It is a common thing in some other sports, certainly a common thing in esports.
Yeah. Yes.
As you know, this week, TSM went into the grand final at FaZe Clan Invitational in Valorant against Sentinels. Uh-huh. And TSM only had to win 1 match.
Wow.
Sentinels had to win 2 because TSM was coming from the winner's bracket.
Yes. So yeah, anyway, fighting game tournaments, that's where you'll see it a lot. Winner's bracket versus loser's bracket.
Yes. So in this case, the Trailblazers only had to win 1 game.
Correct.
To get in, and the Grizzlies had to win 2.
Yep.
So theoretically, it could have gone for 3 games.
It could have. It could have only ever gone for 2 games.
Oh, sorry. Grizzlies had to go 2-0, basically.
Correct. Yes.
Yes, yes. Right. And they didn't.
They didn't. They lost that game. Here's the thing. The Blazers in the fourth quarter, great team.
Yeah.
The Blazers in every other quarter, they're just fine. They're just a fine team. They're not that good. I don't find any of the games that they played to be impressive wins in the bubble, other than their like grittiness. Like, I don't know. Like, shouldn't they have won some of these games outright rather than like needing a huge last second comeback or needing Trey Burke to make a huge boner? Like they should have lost that game. They shouldn't have even been in the play-in game, but they were, thanks to the grace of one Trey Burke foul that stopped a 3-pointer in the second to last game that they played.
Mm-hmm.
It was the game against the Mavericks. That one they won, they should have lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they almost lost the one to the Nets. They almost lost to the Grizzlies. They almost lost to the Sixers without Ben Simmons. They did lose to the Clippers, right? Their entire cadre of wins in the bubble was not impressive. Right. They are a not impressive team other than the fact that they got those wins. And like, we have to think about that, right? They got the wins, they gritted it out, and Damian Lillard has been playing out of his goddamn mind, right?
Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr. has been playing fantastically. Nurkic has been playing really well. With a broken back, CJ McCollum has been playing well, and somehow they still don't have enough in the tank to win these games with some oomph, some push. I don't know. I don't see them taking this run much farther.
I feel Casey devaluing the Lakers' future opponent in this conversation.
Who, me? I would never devalue a future Laker opponent.
Now, to your point, I think they were certainly helped by the fact that the Grizzlies started with four losses in the seeding games.
Yes.
So they didn't help themselves in that way. But I think that as a Lakers fan, I would have preferred to face the Grizzlies than the Trailblazers. Now, near the end of the game against the Grizzlies, I did think to myself, well, here's one factor. I think in some ways the Lakers maybe would – a Lakers-Blazers series is going to be more the variance is going to be less because they know these players. Like, no one on the Blazers is really like an unknown factor, whereas it's possible facing the Grizzlies that Ja Morant wins you a game just because he's, you know, a ferocious young player, and it's still not quite as known the bounds of a Ja Morant performance, you know.
That's fair.
So in some ways it might be more like annoying to play the Grizzlies because they're like less predictable.
And I mean, you know, if you look at the Lakers schedule this year, Lakers lost to the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Right. Did the Lakers lose to the Portland Trailblazers this year?
Did they not?
Don't know. I'm checking right now.
I mean, it doesn't matter because we know that the best team in the league right now is the Phoenix Suns. And we know that they're going to go to the championship and win everything. They've got the momentum going into the playoffs.
Here's the thing. They will not lose until next year. I guarantee that.
That's a strong statement, but I would agree with that. I didn't know that there was a thing called the Kia Players of the Seeding Games. Did you know this?
I did. I mean, I'm on Twitter 24/7, so I knew that they were doing that. Let's talk about the Players of the Seeding Games.
What a horrible brand. Like, they should have just called it the Bubble Games or something.
Yeah, I mean, the bubble is something that they are not, like, they're not saying bubble. Like, that's not a thing that they're saying.
Right.
Okay, so Lakers went 2-1 versus Portland in the regular season.
Uh-huh.
And they went 3-1 versus Memphis in the regular season. So both times there's a loss to each of those teams. Portland, that game that they lost, though, do you remember what game that was? That was the first game after Kobe passed away that they came back.
Right.
So
yeah.
Emotions were running high. Real tough
probably
to get
people
up there.
People not at their best in that game. Yeah. Do you want to talk about these seeding games teams, or do you want to talk about the actual bracket?
Let's go in real quick and get a rundown on the seeding teams.
All right. Let me tell you
I'll give you one memory from each of these players from the bubble.
Oh, there you go. Let's start with the second team.
Okay.
Giannis.
Giannis, all right, here's my bubble memory of Giannis. Giannis got that steel forehead, all right, bringing it into Mo Wagner to take a rest for game 8 of the play-in games. Very funny. The whole situation, very silly. Giannis, he sticks up for himself in times when it's like, why were you doing that? Why does it matter? So, I thought that was silly. And if he does that in the playoffs, that will be to their detriment.
Kawhi Leonard.
My favorite memory of Kawhi Leonard from this was him not being able to block Devin Booker's shot at the end of that Phoenix Suns game. Uh-huh. That made me so happy. Just seeing Devin Booker shoot over Paul George and Kawhi Leonard was such a blessing, and I can't wait to see that happen for the next 3 years in the Pacific Division.
You know, I think one thing we underestimate in the modern era compared to, like, you know, the 80s or the 70s, even the 90s, is the ability for these players to make these turnaround jump shots, and the that it's not luck, that they are really practicing these moves. But the move he put on Kawhi, he did a turnaround and then he shot over George.
Yeah.
That is not a shot that I think that your average NBA player in the 80s or 90s would regularly know how to take. They might do it out of desperation if the shot clock's running down, but we've seen it from enough different NBA players across the league in the last 5 years that it's not as big a deal. Like when Jordan added the turnaround jump shot to his game, it was a huge piece that he added to the arsenal, especially as he was getting older. And it's just regular, like you just got to have it now if you're a guard.
I feel like a lot of the turnaround shots were post moves. Like that was where the turnaround was a big, big shot play. And I agree with you.
I think it was seen as a play of desperation up until 10 years ago. And I think a lot of the moves that like Steph Curry, it's a different kind of turnaround than like a Karl Malone would do. Right. But a lot of these sort of like, off balance or leaning or these kind of shots that a lot of these players have added, I think would have been seen as like bad basketball 10, 15 years ago. And now it's just like, oh, he probably just does. Devin Booker probably does 200 of those at the end of a practice. And then he nails it in the game.
Here's the difference, though. Devin Booker only does that versus one guy. And in this game, he did it versus two. Because he'll complain if you do it versus
two people come, then he'll say, like, wait a minute, the seeding games, we agreed, we're not double teaming.
Just one.
He did. I think he said at the beginning of the bubble, I will be in the bubble, but as long as I'm not double teamed.
Yeah.
And then I think, was it Joakim Noah was like, no, we are. We are double teaming.
Yeah, he said it, and then he sat on the bench for the Clippers the rest of the time. It was pretty wild.
Next, you got Kristaps.
Kristaps was on fire from three in the bubble. So big fan of the way Kristaps played. I can't wait to watch. Early preview of how I feel about this Clippers Mavericks series, but cannot wait to watch them just bomb from three. Like I think this is going to be an offensive firepower series. I'm really looking forward to that series.
Next, you got Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert, man, I thought the bubble Nets were going to be a shit show, right?
Uh-huh.
They were down so many players, right? Not just the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant duo. They were also down Spencer Dinwiddie. They were also down DeAndre Jordan. It was basically Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and Timothy Luau Cabaret against the world. And they came out and they ended up having a winning record in their bubble games. Very proud of the way that they represented themselves on. Big fan of the way that all went down for them. So
let me ask you this, including the Nets, but also with other teams, are there players that were out, but that will be back for the playoffs?
That I can think of is Rajon Rondo.
There was someone else. Wait, who got surgery? And they were like, oh, maybe he'll be back.
I think the word on the street is that he will not be back.
And who was that?
Ben Simmons.
Okay. Yeah. That's who I was thinking of. Did Westbrook like tweak something, but he only missed like a game?
Westbrook tweaked something. He's going to be out for the first 2 to 3 games of the Thunder-Rocket series.
To the point of this team, the Nets are not getting anybody back, though, for their matchup.
No, okay. They are not. No.
What a strange season this is.
So strange. Who's next on the teams?
Michael Porter Jr., the last of the all-seeding games second team. The Kia NBA all-seeding games second team.
Here's the thing. He doesn't believe in seeding games. Michael Porter Jr. does not believe in seeding games. So it's wild that they put him on the team because he probably didn't agree to be on there anyways. These are not seeding games. These are normal games to Michael Carter Williams. Because, you know, he's an AAU guy. He played in gyms like this. It's just more run. You know, you just get the run, you keep it going.
You mean Michael Porter Jr., right? You said yes. Michael Carter Williams. Now, to Michael Carter Williams, these games are... Michael, he'd love to be part of these games.
He is a part of these games. He plays for Orlando.
Oh, well, there you go. And he's going to continue playing because they're still in the playoffs.
Yes, yeah. Michael Carter Williams and Michael Porter Jr., exactly the same.
Yeah,
except very different, and one is good and one is bad.
One is a hoax, and one is one is a hoax created by the CDC,
yes.
And one is real. Exactly. Now let's move on to the first team. This is okay. This is a very good team. First, you got your Devin Booker.
Devin Booker. Oh man. Okay. I mean, here's what I'm going to remember about Devin Booker. I'm going to remember him finally getting his place as a star in the NBA. Mm. Right. He was on the All-Star team this year, but he wasn't voted in. He wasn't picked by the coaches. He was an injury replacement. I think that now people are going to see what he did in the bubble. They're going to pay attention to him. This was his coming out party. Devin Booker is here to stay, and he's going to be a thorn in the side of the Los Angeles Lakers for years. So I think he's going to stay in Phoenix. I think that they're building something there. Monty Williams.
Who was also coach of the bubble.
Coach of the bubble, Monty Williams. I saw a speech that he gave, and I had seen it just after a speech that Luke Walton gave.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell there's a difference. There's a difference in the speeches because people were paying attention to Monty Williams and nobody gave a shit and a half about what fucking Luke Walton had to say.
Very funny. To your point about Devin Booker, I'm just taking a quick look at his salary situation.
I think he's got a couple years left.
He's locked up forever.
Yeah.
He's locked up until 2024.
Yeah, great. See.
So he's fine.
Yeah, that's next year now.
yeah, that's true. We're just going to fast forward to 2020. I mean, if we could just go into a hibernation cube and wake up in 2024.
I tell you what, Adam Sandler was ahead of his time. If Click was real, I'd click right now.
Is that what Click is about?
Yeah, you get to fast forward your life. And then
I thought it was, but can you rewind and change channels and
the
stuff?
The only button on the remote that doesn't work is rewind. And I say this, not having seen the movie and not ever read anything about the movie.
Now I got to watch it. I got to see if there's a picture-in-picture joke in there.
There probably is.
There's got to be a Spanish language.
Oh, SAP? Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
there's got to be that. Next, you got your Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic. It's the legs pass. It's the legs pass and how that ignited a Dallas versus Houston, you're racist controversy.
because
people were like,
you're ignoring James Harden's contributions to this category.
Yeah. Yes, for one. And two, it was because people were racist that they were ignoring.
Oh, right. It's because, not just because people hate James Harden because he's ruining the game.
Yes. Yeah, it was racism.
I almost fell into a rabbit hole.
Uh-oh.
The equivalent of a Reddit rabbit hole. I almost fell into a YouTube rabbit hole of compiling free throw rate stats. And I forget who it is. There's somebody who does like basketball analysis, and it was like, why is James Harden able to do what he does? Why is he able to score 40 points a game or whatever? And so, part of it was about, it was funny to me that a significant part of this video was like, oh, look at how he arm hooks people as he goes to the lane. That's just working the system.
That's basketball, baby.
And then he was saying that, like, you know, it's very common for high scorers in the NBA to have to shoot a lot of free throws. And for example, Michael Jordan in, I forget what it was, like 89 or whatever, and Allen Iverson in maybe 99, 2000 or something. Look at all the free throws they shot. And then, so I spent a little time compiling some stats, which is that, both of them made way more field goals than Harden, and their free throw rates were much lower. So, like, it's not the same that just, like, attempts per game were similar. It's that, like, for the amount of times that they went to the rim or did drives and stuff, like, they didn't get calls the same way that he does. And then I deleted that comment instead of pasting it into YouTube because I thought, this is not going to do any good.
No.
Also, I have a podcast to rant about that stuff instead of posting it on YouTube.
This is the place to do it. What we should have done is we should have remembered the YouTube channel's name and like shouted at it and shunned it.
Yes. Well, all I will say is that just a quick summary of my position on this is James Harden has one of the highest free throw rates of any player of all time, and especially if you look at if you say like, oh well, it's because he drives more. There are players that drive as much or more to the rim as he does and don't get nearly the free throw calls or foul calls that he does, and one of the highest discrepancies of free throw rate between regular season and playoffs. So like pretty typically has like between a high 400s or 500 free throw rate. Some seasons he's even higher, and then there's always a severe drop off in the playoffs for whatever reason. If it's they're calling it not as, you know, not calling as many
maybe
fouls.
It's because he got fouled 500 times in the regular season and is just,
you know,
tired.
When maybe the other players got tired of fouling him because fouling him is strenuous.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, they're like, you know what? All the energy I was expending fouling him, I guess I'll just play him normally.
That makes sense. That's probably what happened. Yeah, I feel that.
It could also be that people make their upper arms more lubricated so he can't hook their arms as he drives to the rim. That's another possibility.
Yeah. So this all counts for the James Harden memory. For
yeah, first sure. Team, right? Let's count up for that, then we'll go T.J. Warren.
T.J. Warren, him hitting that game winner over the Lakers. Watching that game and going like, "Holy shit!" T.J. Warren was never this good.
Yeah. Now I was a little disappointed in the Miami game. I wanted a big game from T.J. Warren in that one.
He did not deliver. He's playing through some mild plantar fasciitis right now. So
I'm playing through some planter's peanuts.
Oh, okay. Tell me, are you a honey roasted kind of guy?
No, plain salted. Plain.
Okay, I love the honey roasted. It's got to be honey roasted for me.
And finally, your Kia NBA player of the seeding games and also member of the first team, Damian Lillard.
Love this pick. Way to go, Damian Lillard. It's going to be how well he handled the smack talk from the Clippers. That's my Dame memory. Like, maybe it's him pulling from the logo. Maybe it's him and the way he stole the ball at the end of the Nets game. Like, it could be any one of those things. I think it's got to be the smack talk because that's the bubble memory I have.
I think it's that combined with they kept playing well and they got in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that if the Suns had gotten in, that Booker would have been the player of the seeding games. What a horrible phrase. Doesn't work at all. But Lillard also averaged the most points per game. In a way, what we got was like, what if Summer League had the best players playing?
Yeah. Then we'd have something that was just as cool as this.
Yeah.
It was nice to be able to watch games all day. Nice to be able to be a part of the NBA while still staying safe. I guess another big thing that I'm happy with is there have been no positive COVID tests in the seeding games. So, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep rolling the dice and betting that it's going to continue that way and hoping that it will continue that way. So
I hope so. I feel like this could be a good standard of like how you handle this kind of situation.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. So
you want to talk brackets?
Let's talk brackets. It's time to go in and make some goddamn predictions.
We have some great lineups, some great matchups.
Oh my gosh. The storylines are fantastic. And I think the basketball is going to be even better. That's the best part about it is that a lot of these teams do not like each other and it's going to be very fun.
Why don't we start in the East and we'll start with, so, you know, maybe one of the most boring matchups in the entire playoffs.
Yes.
To me. That's the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Orlando Magic.
Okay. All right. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I got my prediction for you.
Okay.
Bucks in four.
Yeah. I'll go Bucks in five.
Okay. I do not see a team that surprisingly still has DJ Augustine doing anything.
Well, you know, I think Markelle Fultz is going to have a breakout game.
Okay.
Apparently he's back as the starting point guard.
Great. Good.
So there you go. He'll be starting over DJ Augustine, apparently. So he's going to fix his shot and he's going to fix a game. I don't know. I think that I don't know why. I feel like randomness. I don't know. I feel like there's more. This is not rational in any way. I just feel like because of the bubble, that randomness is a little higher because they're so the same. Like it's winning four games in a row. You know, you win two at home, then you go on the road, you win two. There's still a little bit of mental stimulation for a team like the Bucks, who are basically at the top of the league.
Yeah.
And so I feel like playing the same team four times in a row, living in the same hotel, going to essentially either one of three courts. You know, like it's so much the same. I bet they're going to give one up. That's just it's not rational in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard what you have said, and I vehemently disagree. The Magic are not good, and the Bucks are way better.
Yeah. You're saying that might be true for teams that were closer in ability, but not for these two teams.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to another sort of boring matchup, the Toronto Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm stealing a take from Twitter, and this take is as follows. Real excited for the Toronto Raptors to continue to lose the first game of the playoffs. They just always lose the first game of the playoffs. That's just a right. Toronto Raptors thing. So even though they're not in Toronto, even though they're not doing it in front of their hometown fans, I'm picking Raptors in five.
Okay. Just to clarify my chronology.
Yeah.
The Raptors are the defending champions. Is that right?
Of the National Basketball Association, yes.
It does feel like 10 years ago that they won the championship.
Well, it was 10 years ago because we've been stuck in our houses going insane for 10 years.
Okay, there you go. I would say that, I'm sorry, what, you picked them in five?
Pick them in five. It's five. It's five for me.
Yeah. You know what? I'll go five as well. I do think that they are a team that is, I'm sure that they would describe themselves as being slept on.
Okay.
And not getting the respect that they deserve. Because they are the defending champions, and I feel like everybody is sort of talking about all the other teams and how great they are this year.
Okay, well, one of the things that you can't sleep on with the Raptors is Fred VanVleet.
Uh-huh.
Dude is just good. I am so mad about it because they got him for nothing. Like, I believe he was either undrafted or a second-round pick. The fact that they were able to find him and turn him into something that is as fantastic as it is, very upsetting. Primo player for them. It is always surprising to me to watch Kyle Lowry take over a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens very often, and you just never see it coming. He's just always just Kyle Lowrying it up, and then he'll hit 2 3-pointers. You're like, oh, he's got 25 points?
Yeah.
10 rebounds, and 8 assists, and he's got 4 steals. What happened here?
Right.
You know, it happens in those games where the Raptors are just putting a beating on a team by having like 2 really big runs, and Kyle Lowry leads both of them. It's like, oh, wow.
If you were watching Kyle Lowry playing like in a pickup game and with no score, he would kind of seem like the guy that was like bullying everybody the whole game and like constantly asking for the ball and like shooting it a lot and stuff. And not you being kind of like, he's good, but like, he seems kind of like, what do you call it? Steamroller in a way, in terms of like his attitude. But then once you actually keep scoring statistics, it's like, oh, yikes. He's really doing some damage in the box score.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
And so I'm not. I don't know. I don't see him. I don't see him doing anything other than being a pest, a good pest. And I see them taking this series and putting the Nets out of their injury fueled.
Yeah, it's a shame. If we had the full Nets roster, this would be a great series, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that the Raptors are. Let me correct myself. If the Nets had their regular injured roster, it would be a good series. And if they had their real roster, then you'd probably pick the Nets what you do.
I would pick the Nets for sure.
But the Raptors, I do think will probably, my feeling is that they're a little bit laying in wait. They played very well in the bubble. They only dropped one game. And I bet that they internally are kind of like, you know, we're actually the defending champs still. So they have a better record than the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll just put it that way.
They did last year better than the Warriors.
Yeah.
Right? So next series, Boston-Philly.
Yes, it's a shame about Simmons.
Shame about Simmons. But this is the Al Horford revenge series.
Okay.
Apparently, you know, he can get revenge for how he was treated in Boston. They didn't pay him enough. I don't know.
Was he treated badly?
I don't know why. I don't know why he signed with Philadelphia, other than like they paid him a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a good that's a good reason.
Great reason. No problems there. But yeah, the Sixers majorly disappointed in the bubble. Had a real rough time. Just kind of a bummer for them to slip all the way to the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Here's my prediction. I'm going Boston Celtics in five.
Ooh. Man, that's a that's kind of an indictment of Joel Embiid.
It is. It is an indictment of Joel Embiid. But I think that Boston is just too talented on the perimeter to have Joel Embiid be a problem for more than one game. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, he'll be a problem, but I think they'll beat him. I don't know. I don't like Tobias Harris in this matchup. I think that he and Gordon Hayward cancel each other out. I think the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum combo is just way better than the rest of the front court in Philadelphia. Yeah, I'm not in on Philadelphia. I think I might have picked them at the beginning of the bubble to win the whole thing as a joke on a lark. Hard turn on that. I think the Celtics are a far better team, and I think they're going to kick some Philly butt.
Yeah, I want to say Celtics in six. So I think I'll say that. But okay. I actually find your reasoning more persuasive and convincing. You know, the thing is that if Joel Embiid wants to be the player that he trash talks himself into being,
yeah,
then he should be good enough to get a first round win against any Eastern Conference team.
Yeah.
If he wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know that he is.
He's not. He's not. That's the real bummer there.
I think that the 76ers actually, again, this is just couch psychology. I'm trying to think of what team I've described recently as feeling like they've won something when they haven't won anything. The 76ers, I feel like, maybe are a little better than they've shown in the bubble, because I think maybe in the bubble they've had a little bit of senioritis in the sense that they've gotten a lot of hype over the last couple of years. And I think they have a little of that feeling of like, oh, well, we're one of the playoff veteran teams, you know, without actually having achieved anything.
Got it. Yeah. I'm in for that.
So anyway, that's what I think that that's. I think they might squeeze out a sixth game.
Okay.
And finally, the best matchup in the East.
Yes, the Indiana Pacers. The Miami Heat are so inconsistent.
Yeah.
On their best days, it looks like they could beat anybody. On their worst days, they lose to horrible, horrible teams. Their inconsistency is maddening. However, I do not think it is enough for the Pacers, because I think the Pacers will bow out in this series. I'm picking the Heat, and I'm picking the Heat in seven.
Ooh. Theoretically, that is a home game for them, right?
What do you mean by a home game for them?
Means their logo will be on the court?
No. The Pacers are the four seed, and the Heat are the five seed.
Oh, okay. Well, but also it's kind of a home. No, there's no crowd. So there's really no way in any way that anything is anyone's home team.
No. You're not getting a game seven home team advantage.
Boy, we're going to have to factor out all of these playoff series in the future when we do the like, no road team has ever come back from a 3-1 deficit or, you know.
Yeah.
A game seven has never been won by the... you're going Heat in seven. I'm going to go Pacers in seven.
Ooh. Okay. So we just all the only disagreement we have here is who wins game seven. We lockstep all the rest of the way.
Well, I think that I'm going to buy in on the TJ Warren.
Okay.
Stock. I'm going to buy. This is more wishful thinking than anything else, because in terms of personality, I prefer TJ Warren to Jimmy Butler, and okay, I want TJ Warren to win this battle over Jimmy Butler.
That I don't disagree with you. I want TJ Warren to win too. I think the injury is going to be too much for him to like really make a difference.
Well, also I think there's far less, barring the injury, I think there's far less evidence that TJ Warren is even able to do this. Like, you know, like what we just saw in the bubble might be TJ Warren's ceiling. And so there's just more evidence of performance at a high level by Jimmy Butler than TJ Warren. So,
yeah. I also think that not having Domantas Sabonis for the Pacers is a huge problem.
Yeah. Right.
Domantas Sabonis was their best player this year by far. And not having him, even with, you know, Magic Bubble TJ Warren, even with TJ Warren going crazy, I think that they're still not going to be able to beat the Heat. I think the Heat will lose a couple of the games in this series by 30 points.
Uh-huh.
There'll be two games where it's just like Bam Adebayo loses the ability to tie his shoes and he doesn't get onto the court. Like that's anything could happen with the Heat, and I would believe it. But I think what will happen is that Duncan Robinson will shoot a shit ton of threes and take the Heat to the next round.
Interesting thing is that Sabonis, I'm curious. So he also has plantar fasciitis, but yeah, much worse. Somebody better, than G-Warn. Yes,
somebody better check the water in Indianapolis because they're shipping it down there for plantar fasciitis.
So Domantas Sabonis has not theoretically ruled out the rest of the season, but he has left the bubble to rehab. So what I'm confused about is why you need to leave the bubble to rehab this injury. Doesn't leaving the bubble mean that when you come back, you have to like quarantine again for a little while?
Yep.
So it really reduces the chance if they squeak out of the first round, he probably wouldn't even be available until like the conference like finals or something.
Yep. You have said exactly just true statements.
Okay. So I'm just confused about that because then it really seems like he's just out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. Like, what if they go to the finals?
Right. Well, and similarly, not to jump to the Western Conference, but I guess we could. Mike Conley has also left the bubble.
Left the bubble, but not for an injury, not for rehab.
Right.
For the birth of his son.
Right. But this almost guarantees that he misses the first round.
It'll be tough to get him back for the first round, but if he goes for just 1 or 2 days, he'll only miss 2 to 3 games.
Okay. So it's not a full 14-day quarantine, I guess, when you come back.
No. So if you're tested every day while you're out, which apparently they have the ability to do that, if you're tested every day while you're out and you maintain negative tests, you only quarantine for 4 days.
Okay.
And now, the quarantine has to be, you have to have tests as well. So
right. I will say, I'm glad about all this. I'm glad there's been no positives and all that stuff. But these are the kind of things that make people be like, how come the NBA gets to have a player just get tested like 19 times? And then there's other states where like we can't get enough tests. And there is that discrepancy that gets starts to show up for a little while.
How many times have you been tested?
I've been tested 0 times.
Same here. And the reason for that is because I have just not left my house or gone to anywhere except for the grocery store.
Yeah, I was tempted to get tested when they were doing them at Dodger Stadium. And they were kind of for a little while being like, everybody come get tested.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, they were like, oh, wait, it's getting a little busy.
Yeah, right. To me, it doesn't seem like they're like doing anything like getting tested will change nothing about how I am living my life. Right.
Yeah. I was only doing it because for a little while, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti was saying it's good for everyone to come get tested so we get some better sense of what the actual situation is. And now I think they're just like, well, we'll take a wild guess and just assume that the situation is fucked.
Yeah, it's bad. So since it's bad, we'll just keep it bad. Right, because I don't feel like the contact trick, because like testing is just one arm on a Voltron of figuring out how to beat this, and the contact tracing and the ability to aggressively isolate positive test cases. And all that stuff is not actively in place and people don't follow it. So I want to get a test, but people take tests and they use them as excuses to like go other places and like see their friends and go out of state, et cetera. And it's like, that's not what a test is for. A test is just to make sure that you don't have to self-isolate for 2 weeks.
Right. So I guess what I'm, this is just a roundabout way of saying that if I were a Pacers fan, I might be confused.
Yeah, that's fair. So here's why I am a little okay with what the NBA is doing. Did you read the positive PR article about how the NBA has helped administer testing or helped develop a new saliva-based test?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so part of the thing that's been happening in the bubble
Can I make a theory as to how this test works?
Yes.
You put a mouth guard in your mouth, and then you send it to Elizabeth.
Yes, and she goes, ew, and the length of her ew determines how likely you are to have coronavirus.
Very good.
Yeah. apparently it's a test that can also use group testing to test for coronavirus. My understanding with like pooling the testing is like if you test one batch of like pooled subjects and there's no coronavirus in it, then you can throw out the rest of the like saliva sample.
Oh,
and it's like, you know, that like, you have to find where there's like a logic puzzle about like hats or something.
And you weigh half of them.
Exactly.
And then if that one is different, you take that group and split it into another half.
Yes.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah.
So apparently,
you can more quickly give a bunch of people like a negative result.
Correct.
Yes. Nice.
So that's my understanding about how these tests work. And the NBA has worked with Yale to produce an FDA-approved coronavirus saliva test that's better with group testing.
So can I tell you another benefit of that kind of testing?
Yes.
Is that if one of the samples is positive, that can infect all of the other ones, and then you return the saliva to those people.
Yes.
And then. So in either direction, it works great.
So here's how the testing works: is you take a big, you hawk a big loogie and you spit it out, but you don't sever
the loogie from your mouth. The grossest version of this.
No, and then you touch it to the bottom. It mingles with everybody else, and then you suck it back up in after they've done the test. That way, you don't waste any of your saliva.
The standard weapon of the childhood bully.
Just the hanging loogie.
Yes. Hanging Loogie is what they should have called the bubble.
Hanging Loogie is absolutely the title of this episode.
Okay, so you've got Heat in seven. I've got Pays in seven. Since we talked about the Jazz, I would say the West has four pretty fun series.
I am so excited for the Western Conference playoffs. I mean, we were excited all season for this, right?
Yeah. Now, not having Conley, I know Conley hasn't played at his best this season.
Yeah. So we went outer to inner. On the last one, we're going to go inner to outer in the Western Conference and start with you were talking about Conley. So I guess, yeah.
Wait, what does outer to inner mean in this context?
1-8 or outer.
Oh, okay. Yes. And what is Jazz? Like 3-6?
Yeah, 3-6.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
This segue is just as good as how I segued into my marriage proposal. Just as good.
And very similar, because you were like, speaking of Mike Conley, do you want to get married?
It was worse. It was way worse. It was, we were on a Zoom call with her parents, and I asked them what they were having for lunch. And they were like, oh, we're having a taco salad. And I was like, I wanted to say something like, that's great, but you know what I would like to talk about is, and then go into a marriage proposal. But I was like, well, you know what I want to eat is Elizabeth for the rest of my life. I did actually say that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and then she still said yes, and you know, I immediately started crying, and you know, the whole fun emotional roller coaster of being, you know, overwhelmed with happiness and gratefulness. Just really turn, you know, because like I feel like I'm somebody who can talk my way into and out of many different situations. This one, I stumbled real hard.
I would have suggested like, so wait, what were they eating for lunch?
Taco salad.
Taco salad. You know what goes great with taco salad is cake. You know what my favorite kind of cake is? Wedding cake.
Wedding cake. Yes.
And you know what my favorite wedding cake is made of? Elizabeth. What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Exactly.
Awkward segue.
Yeah, very awkward. Very awkward. Yeah, so great segues. Let's talk Rockets and Thunder.
Rockets and Thunder. Do we just come back to Nuggets Jazz in a bit?
Yeah, we'll come back to Conley.
Of course, Rockets and Thunder is a very exciting series because
what a series. How lucky we are to get this in the first round.
I mean, am I now in the position of rooting for Chris Paul? Is that what I'm doing?
I mean, you certainly could be.
Because the Thunder, of course, were the team that was like, obviously this season they weren't going to do anything.
Uh-huh.
They gutted their roster. They got, as a consolation, they got Chris Paul. Chris Paul's just supposed to be there to, you know, set an example for the young players. But we're not expecting anything from the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then now, of course, they're in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs. And they're playing against the team that they traded Russell Westbrook to.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's the Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul grudge match. I wouldn't have it any other way. This is truly a blessing.
In many ways, there can be no losing for Chris Grace watching this series.
Yeah.
Because somebody is going to be bitterly disappointed, and it's either going to be Chris Paul or it's going to be James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
And I love that for you. I love that for you.
So probably I'm going to root for Chris Paul because I'd rather see the two guys. Although, just to remind everybody, I did pick the Rockets to win the championship this year. And that's still potentially true.
Yeah, you're still stuck there. What I want to just preview for this real fast, I want to ask you, who scored, let's see. Player A,
okay,
18.7 points per game,
mm-hmm.
5 rebounds a game,
mm-hmm.
2 assists a game.
Okay.
Okay. Player B, 21 points a game,
uh-huh.
6 rebounds, 4 assists.
Okay.
All right.
I'd prefer to have player B, if that's what you're asking.
Yes, you would prefer to have player B.
Yes.
But player B only played 48 games this year.
Oh.
Player A played 62.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I'd still rather have player B.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Player B is Paul George. Player A is Danilo Gallinari. They're not so far off.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Right. I think that
they didn't lose that much.
They did not lose that much. Right. Like, the difference between the two of them this year, very small.
Oh, I mean, and I bet if you look at, what are their salaries? Probably
their salaries are roughly equal.
Oh, really? Good for Danilo.
Danilo's making 22. And I believe.
Good Lord. Danilo Gallinari is making 22 million a year. This is a wonderful world we live in.
And Paul George is making 35. So they're not equal, but they're both high.
Casey's got a fun example of fun sense of what equal means.
I mean, they're both just like way more than a medium player. I don't know. Yes. They're both almost max players.
I mean, they're certainly to us basically equal because they're just ridiculously rich.
Yeah. Every NBA player makes the same amount of money because it's infinite compared to what I will ever have.
Yeah. What you're saying is that the Thunder actually got a pretty good, you know, by looking at the salary, that's a good replacement.
It's a great replacement because the other piece that they got, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? He's so good, and he is making $4 million on a rookie deal still, but he averaged 20 points a game.
What's the head-to-head between these two teams?
I think in the regular season, let me check real fast. Oklahoma City they played the Rockets. They should have played them 3 or 4 times. Just Houston. They lost by 4 points in the first game. In the second game, they won 113-92, a big blowout win. In the third game, they won 112-107. So this was a Oklahoma City winning 2-1 in the regular season.
Okay. I'm ready with my prediction.
Okay. Tell me.
Rockets in 6.
Rockets in 6.
I'm going to keep alive my Rockets winning the championship prediction.
Yeah.
I think that the combination of Harden and Westbrook is just going to be too much. And although it pains me to say this, I feel like maybe Chris Paul will be mentally tougher than those two guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's true. I mean, I feel like that should be that. That's kind of what I'm saying based on the Chris Paul reputation. Yeah. However, as a longtime Chris Paul hater, I know that he likes to choke at the end of playoff games.
Yes. Yeah. Very
so
true.
What I'm most excited about is that one of these teams will be losing, and it will be fun to see, you know, from night to night, one of these three assholes fail. And that is the great thing about the NBA.
Okay, here's going to be our biggest disagreement all day, I think. I'm picking Thunder in six.
Yay!
And I think part of the reason is that I may have more information than you, and Russell Westbrook is not going to be playing for the first 2 to 3 games of the series.
Right.
So, and I took that into account in this because
you're
I don't
saying
think
that like
I,
that's going to hurt the Rockets.
I am saying that is going to hurt the Rockets, and you say it's going to help the Rockets.
I'm saying that it's a push.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that it just means that they have to play somebody else who is not good.
Yes,
and you know, after you pass James Harden to Russell Westbrook, then to Robert Covington, PJ Tucker, Austin Rivers, then you get down to the Ben McLemores, Daniel House. It just does not get good from there. So I am not a believer in Houston's depth, and I think that when you are in the playoffs and you lose a top guy, that just showcases how poor your depth can be. So I think that the Thunder have quality and depth in a way that the Rockets don't. And I like them to really show that. And I really think they're going to take either two, if not all three, of the first three games, the ones that Russell Westbrook misses, and then only have to win one of the last three to win in six. That's my prediction.
I mean, that makes sense. I will say that I think I'm just trying to figure out who's going to get these minutes. I mean, am I expecting like a big Jeff Green breakout? Maybe that's what I'm expecting.
I mean, Jeff Green, he's always going to do a breakout. That's just the Jeff Green way.
He might have one breakout per series, right?
Yeah.
Like that's not impossible. And if he happens to have one of those breakouts in the first one or two Westbrook-less games that they play, maybe that'll carry him through.
Could
I
be.
I don't really know. I don't know. I trust in Chris Paul to throw away a game.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't found a way to get anybody banned from the stadium. He's not been able to extracurricularly affect games in ways that he probably has wanted to in the bubble. So I'm okay.
I think that's because Chris Paul hasn't found one of the secret tunnels to either the team's locker room.
That's a very good point.
I guess I'll just say that my prediction is based on me wanting to protect my Rockets championship stake. Okay. But also, if I had to rationalize it, I would say that I would just it's not likely, but the chance of a Jeff Green or Austin Rivers big game in those first couple games is not a zero chance.
It's not a zero, right? It's the same kind of thing with the Lakers.
This is the Casey Lawrence Lakers.
Yeah.
Lakers platoon theory.
It's you just got to roll them high. You just got to roll them high for a couple of those dice. And I just think that without Westbrook, he's even a dime. You know,
so. You know what? Mark it down now. In the next 4 years, Kyle Kuzma will be a Rocket.
Oh, wow.
That he's exactly the kind of player they would want right now.
That's very funny.
Who's next?
Next, we got our 3-6. You know, I've been trying to talk about Mike Conley for, you know, 10 minutes on here. I've just been blocked for some reason.
And you keep getting – I mean, you've never been blocked, but in this conversation you have been.
Yeah, just barely. And never been blocked by my friend who lives in Utah, Salt Lake City. So
I would say – so like I was sort of getting at before, I don't think that – it's not that I think that Mike Conley is – a critical piece to the Jazz picture, but it just, I would probably have picked the Nuggets anyway. But I think it obviously hurts them to not have Mike Conley. And also now Michael Porter Jr. is playing well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Nuggets in five.
Okay. I have Nuggets in seven for this one.
Okay.
And here's why I have Nuggets in seven. If I were to tell you two teams that I thought looked way less impressive than I thought they were going to be, Utah and Denver would have been at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that either of these teams played so well in the bubble that they are locks for anything. You said Nuggets in five?
Yes.
And I was not impressed by the Nuggets in such a way that I think that Utah can take three games off of them. I think that the Gobert-Jokic matchup is leans towards Jokic. I think that the Donovan Mitchell-Jamal Murray matchup leans Donovan Mitchell. I think that the Michael Porter Jr.-Joe Ingles matchup is funny. And... yeah, I think, you know, if Mike Conley comes back, that I think he will actually be a boon for that team in a way that I think they need. And then, you know, then just like it's a grab bag of mismatched parts. You got Paul Millsap, you got Bol Bol, you got Royce O'Neal, you got not Derek Favors, but what's his face? Ed Davis is out, actually, for the Jazz. I don't think either team is super deep right now because of injuries, right? Gary Harris is not there. Will Barton's not there for.
Yeah, Denver. But I mean, but the Jazz have Jordan Clarkson, so.
You make a really good point. Jordan Clarkson is going to go for 20 in one of these games, and they're going to lose that game by 50.
He is the Vinny Johnson of the day.
Oh, God.
Mr. Microwave.
Mr. Microwave. Yeah. I mean, I still think the Nuggets pull it out, but I think it'll be a lot closer than they wanted. Because
yeah, I can see that.
I don't like either of these teams right now in the bubble. Like I'm not a fan of the way either of them have been playing. So
I will say overall that I think that I don't actually put much stock into any of the way that the teams are playing in the bubble in terms of how they will play in the playoffs. Similarly, because I don't really the way teams play in the last 3 weeks of the regular season is often very not indicative of anything.
Yeah, and I mean, we have talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think I'm mostly just going off of, because it kind of contradicts, I think, what I said on the last podcast about that specific feeling of how the last couple of weeks of the season do not predict how things go in the playoffs. I think the difference for me with, like, these predictions is that they both have to do with the lack of players, like the players that are out.
Yeah.
Right. It's not performance. It's the players that are out and how that has affected how they've been playing. Right. It's not just like they're a full team and they're just a little sloppy right now. It's that, you know, they're literally missing Gary Harris and Will Barton. And those are two starters this year. And they're missing Bogdanovich, who's just in Beverly Hills trying to match on Hinge with my improv team.
Right. What's the latest on that?
No word. Nothing.
To counter argue against myself, I will say that one difference between this and the regular season normally is there's a lot more continuity between what's happening now and the playoffs. There really is no difference between the physical logistics of what they're doing right now and tomorrow's game. Yeah. All we're doing is like mentally changing a label from bubble game to playoff game. So, and that is a huge difference. It will affect everyone's approach and their time management and all that stuff. But there is still a big difference between like playing a bunch of dumb regular season games, you know, getting on a private jet, flying here, staying in a hotel, to, okay, all of a sudden we're just going to Denver to play games. That's a bigger discrepancy between regular season and playoffs than what they're about to experience now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say that I just generally believe in Jokic more than Donovan Mitchell. And okay. That kind of just comes down to like what I think about these two teams.
That's fair. I would not be surprised if it was somewhere in the middle on that one either. You know,
by the way, Donovan Mitchell, it's not quite like Kyle Lowry, but he is a player that, like, sometimes I just think, like, this guy is an all-star. Like, he looks bad for stretches. And then sometimes we'll end up with, like, 26 points in a game.
Yeah. He's a grinder. He'll make it happen.
Yeah. Next, Clippers Mavericks.
I am so excited for this series. I think this is going to be a super fun series where nobody's going to play any goddamn defense. Because that's just
one,
the way.
One player will play defense. Because he can't help but play defense.
Ivica Zubats?
Yeah, exactly. Doc Rivers.
Yes, of course.
No, I think yeah. Kawhi is always going to play defense.
Yeah, he's always going to play defense, but is he just going to guard Luka all the time?
Ooh, I don't know.
Right? Like, who does he guard for Dallas? I mean, it's got to be Luka, right?
I'm excited for that matchup, though.
It'd be a great matchup, and I think that Luka's going to get the better of him on offense for quite a lot of the series. And I think that every single Clipper is going to get the better of every single Maverick on every single possession on offense.
Right.
Because, right, the Clippers look at their worst on offense when they're discombobulated, when they're not hitting shots. They're not, like, I don't know. There's just, like, something about, like, that broken Clippers offense. You're like, ugh, this is just, this sucks. That's not going to happen a lot in this series, right? They aren't going to get disrupted. They aren't going to miss a ton of shots. This is going to be a high-scoring series between two teams that just want to shoot that three ball. I really think that that this is going to be the most fun series to watch in the first round.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I probably would have already thought that with Doncic in the game, because I think just individually he's one of the most fun players to watch in the game right now. What's your pick for this?
It's Clippers in five.
Whoa. I think that sounds reasonable, actually. Because I would say that the Clippers are the Clipper that I'll put it this way. That's what it should be. 'Cause the Clippers are theoretically a better team.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'll just be crazy on this one, and I'll say Mavericks in six.
Whoa! What is happening? That is a wild prediction, and I want to know why you said it. Like, I mean, like, did you say it just to be a troll, or like, what's going on here?
So, to a certain degree, it's more just that I want that to happen.
Okay,
that's one. And secondly, more that I'm just betting against the. We haven't actually seen Paul George and Kawhi in the playoffs together.
Mm-hmm.
It's me betting that Patrick Beverley will get himself and one other Clipper ejected somehow. That's really all it's based on. And it's just based on – it is based on Luka. I mean, is it possible that Luka has – no, for everyone except Kawhi – Luka probably has the second most high pressure basketball experience, I would guess.
I feel like Paul George has had some high pressure basketball experience too.
I mean, and succeeding.
I mean, he just didn't win the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, there's some good high pressure basketball stuff that we can count on from Paul George, and he's failed too a lot, you know, and. I think failure is a precursor to success. You know, think about it that way.
It's also the post-cursor to success.
Failure is all around us. There's a lot more failure.
I think it was Thoreau that said failure is the parentheses around success, and also Paul George sucks.
Yeah, a road diverges in the woods, and one is failure and one is success.
Right.
And I went to the pond to ponder. I don't know. What reference am I even making?
You're thinking two roads diverge in a yellow wood.
Yeah.
That's a Robert Frost poem.
Robert Frost. Yeah. Okay.
And right. Of course, my pet peeve about that poem is that it doesn't mean what anyone think it means.
Oh, what do people think it means?
So people always quote that poem as saying, two roads diverged. I took the one that was less traveled, and that has made all the difference. Meaning I took the path that fewer people had taken, and that's why my life has turned out so great. That poem is actually a satire of old men nostalgizing their choices in the past. Because in the poem, he says, basically these two paths were the same. When I tell this story later, I'm going to tell people that I went on the less traveled one, and I'll look back and think about how that choice made all the difference. But it's a poem about an old man basically lying about his past.
That's so interesting, because, right, all you ever see are the inspirational quotes.
That's right.
And isn't that funny how, you know, when you get the full context, it's just not the same.
You know what's funny? So I haven't actually looked at some advanced numbers in a while, but you are correct in that the Mavericks and the Clippers have the two highest offensive ratings in the league this year.
Yeah.
I will say that the Mavericks attempt a lot more three-pointers than the Clippers do.
Clippers get a lot of free throws.
The Mavericks attempt more three-pointers than any team except the Rockets, which means just in Texas, we're just chucking shit up everywhere.
Just chucking shit.
And to your point, the Clippers get to the line the second most in the league, behind the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
And by the way, a lot of that has to do with Jimmy Butler, I think, because in the game the other night, in the Pacers game, he went to the line like 15 times or something.
Yeah, because he only made one shot, because he's lost the ability to make a jump shot. That's the Jimmy Butler experience right now.
Right. But luckily, there's no rule requiring him to jump at the free throw line.
Yeah, great point. I have a question for you. Are you paying $8 a month for Basketball Reference Pro now?
Oh, I didn't even know this was a thing. Let me see what this is. I happen to be looking at Basketball Reference right now, but what does Pro give me?
Now you can't use the play index unless you subscribe to Basketball Reference now.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, I mean, you know, they've been asking for money from people for as long as they've been a website.
Yeah.
You know, so like it takes money to run that website, and people use it all the time. So,
yeah.
Actually, I'd imagine
did they not have any ads or anything?
Yeah, they don't run ads. They're a good website. One of the last good ones. So
good for them. I actually don't see anything. Is this become a stat head?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it like that, that is appealing to me.
Very
to
be appealing. A stat head.
I mean, look, I'm somebody who paid for Synergy Sports for a little while. Anyway,
basketballreference.com, sponsor us. Sponsor us.
I'm going to say that Kawhi is going to be great. Paul George is going to underperform. Luka is going to significantly overperform, and the Mavericks are going to win the series.
That's
my irrational prediction.
Love it. Love it.
And finally,
one last prediction. And yes, the reason I wanted to go inside to out here was so that we could talk about the Lakers last.
Right.
Because I have one Laker bone to pick with you.
Ooh. Okay.
But I want to get to it after we do our predictions.
Well, I have a prediction as to what your prediction is going to be.
Oh, okay. All right. Talk to me. What do you think my prediction is going to be?
Because
I've already written it down. Let me write it down. I'm going to write it down, and I'll show it to you on the webcam I'll pull my finger away.
Okay. Your prediction is Lakers in three.
That was this joke is good, and I'm sorry that I made you stop doing it.
That's
my
fine.
Prediction is Lakers in six.
In six? Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm going Lakers in five.
Cool.
I don't think that, you know, as well as CJ played in that last game and whatever, he's been playing okay. I don't believe in CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
And I'm not scared of him at all. If he wants to jaw and say how Ja Morant can't guard him, I don't care. I don't believe in CJ.
With an expletive. McCollum. How dare he use an expletive?
Yes. I just I think Damian Lillard is a great player, and I love Damian Lillard. And honestly, if Damian Lillard beat the Lakers in the series, I would just tip my hat to him. But I also don't think that him by himself is enough to overcome like two of the greatest players in the league, LeBron and Anthony Davis. And also, Anthony Davis's production is and LeBron's really, but look, Anthony Davis's production I feel is more reliable. Mm-hmm. Like I just think it's harder to keep Anthony Davis to limit him to like a 75% potential game.
Yeah,
if he just kind of has an average game, he's going to still give you a lot of stuff in the box score. And it's just hard. It's in many ways just the advantage that big guys have over little guys.
Yeah, and so here's the interesting thing. To me about all of this. the Blazers are one of those teams that, like the Lakers, has two actual big guys that play at the same time for a lot of the game. Nurkic and Whiteside. They play them at the same time. And then they stagger them the rest of the way. Kind of like how the Lakers will always have a big guy with Anthony Davis. Right? So the matchups in this series are going to be weird. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's going to be LeBron on Carmelo on defense. It's going to be Danny Green on Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. It's going to be KCP on CJ McCollum. There's going to be a lot of switches, a lot of weird defensive movement. I think that these teams are kind of weirdly cross-matched.
Yeah,
like I don't like the cross-matching in the backcourt for the Lakers, but I do like the cross-matching in the front court. Like I don't think Hassan Whiteside. I think Hassan Whiteside has been playing a lot better this season than he probably should have been expected to. But I think that he and the JaVale McGee Dwight Howard combo, like, if they don't cancel each other out, they're at least only slightly favored for the Blazers, in my mind. I think that Nurkic is a good player, and I think that he's been a really good story in the bubble, coming back, making this team really good. I think that Anthony Davis will eat him alive.
Yeah. I think that, to your point, Carmelo is the perfect I'm going to rest on defense matchup for LeBron. Not that Carmelo won't score points, but it's going to be like a 24-hour fitness game for LeBron.
That's fair.
He's not going to, even if it's like hard for him to guard Carmelo, it's not going to be chasing Damian Lillard around a bunch of picks or trying to keep Damian Lillard in front of him. Like, he's going to let Carmelo shoot his jumpers.
Yeah.
And Carmelo might have a game where he has 25 points in this series. Yep. But it's never going to tax LeBron in a way that affects the other end of the court.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we're not going to see almost any Anthony Simons in the first round. Like, the only people that are going to play are going to be Lillard, McCollum, Trent, Carmelo, Nurkic, Whiteside, maybe Hezonja for some spot minutes. But, Damian Lillard's going to play 45 minutes a game. Like, he's got to. Like, there's no way that they compete without him absolutely exhausting himself. And so I'm not into their depth. I think that their depth is going to be small. And the Lakers are, I think Frank Vogel is probably going to keep the rotation decently large in this first round.
I mean, I think that he has the ability to, because a lot of them suck. So four through 12 of this team.
Yeah.
Saying that maybe Kuzma is one of the consistent contributors, but 4 through 12 is not like you're not losing a ton. If you put in so-and-so versus so-and-so, if you take out KCP and you put in Caruso, if you take out Taylor Horton Tucker, the drop off is so that, I guess that's an advantage, but also they have played a whole season where they're used to this. Like, there's two guys that prop up this team and we're all just doing our best to contribute. So yeah. at least they're not changing modalities in a way.
Yeah. And I agree.
By the way, Mario Hezonja, is that the one who was yamming on people?
I forget if it was LeBron or Giannis. He yammed on somebody, and he blocked LeBron at the end of the game last year.
That was when he was on the Knicks.
He was on the Knicks, yes.
Gotcha. So you're looking at the Trailblazers having a 8-man rotation, really?
Seven, maybe.
Hezonja.
Eight with Hezonja, maybe. Like, maybe Simons gets in there. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of their recent games. It's like the main three guys off the bench are Trent, Whiteside, and Hezonja. Simons has had very little time. Because, actually, what's scary about that, if I was a Trailblazers fan, is I would never have wanted Carmelo to be one of the he's putting in 35 minutes a game players.
Yeah.
Like, I always would have thought Carmelo to be the, hey, man, I'm coming for 21 minutes and, like, do awesome. And then, because keep in mind, not only because of matchups, but probably because of like veteran ego. There's going to be some plays where he's guarding LeBron. There might even be situations where, because of switches and stuff, he's guarding Davis.
Yeah.
And like, that's going to be a huge, that Carmelo was a defensive liability at Syracuse, you know, like, and now 32 minutes into a game, like, he's going to be a defensive liability at the end of a game. And I mean, to be fair, so are Lillard and I guess McCollum's okay. But like, I mean, Lillard is a great player, but he's also not a great defender just because of his size.
Yeah.
If you, I think the safest reason to pick the Lakers in this situation is, like, I just think when it comes down to it, it's harder to keep LeBron and Anthony Davis from getting to the rim than, or harder to keep them from scoring. As great as Lillard is, especially from ranges out to the half court line, his percentages are still like lower than Anthony Davis within 12 feet of the rim.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see how the Lakers try to guard Damian Lillard. I'm excited to see it. I hope CJ McCollum stays healthy because I want him to lose with grace. But I mean, dude is playing with a broken back, which is wild. Like, you know, yes, I know not all back breaks are the same, but still that's gotta be dangerous and weird. I don't like it.
I the last thing I'll say about what the question about how do they guard Lillard is, I'm glad that Frank Vogel is the coach, because I think if, not that he's the only one who could do it, but he seems to be a defensive minded coach who will probably relish the idea of like trying to create a system to contain Damian Lillard over seven games. And I think that will be an interesting lab to see what part of this is like, hey, Frank Vogel, you're a defensive coach. What are your ideas about how to guard Damian Lillard? Let's see them in action. And here are some of the most athletic people in the league to implement this with. Danny Green's an outstanding defender. How are you going to do it? And so I'm excited to see that. I love that kind of stuff. And I guess I'm glad that he's the Lakers coach instead of whoever else. I don't even remember who else was under consideration for the coaching job this year. Ty Lue?
Yeah.
Like, imagine us having this conversation. Like, how is Ty Lue going to contain Damian Lillard? Like, it would just be like, he's not. He's not going to.
Yeah.
Ty Lue's going to lay down on the court and have Damian Lillard step over him. That's how he's going to contain him.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm excited. So are you ready for my bone to pick with you about the Lakers?
Oh, yes.
Can you predict what it's going to be?
No.
Kyle Kuzma's good now. I can't say anything other than he's just good now. He just is good now. He hit a game winner. He won me a free Lakers jersey. Kyle Kuzma's good. There's just, you can't deny it. Like, he's actually good now, and he is not bad anymore, and he's just good. So that's my hot take, is that he is good and he is the third best player on the team, and he is going to play well.
I do think I kind of granted that to you by saying that positions 4 through 12 were inconsistent on this team.
Yes, you certainly did, and I will take that. I will take that 100%. But yeah, I mean, he's playing really good defense. He's playing really, really fantastic on offense. I think Kyle Kuzma has made it, and I think he's good, and I think now we should pay him $100 million a year. That's my Kyle Kuzma take, and it's not bad. It's a good take.
And you're also, you feel confident that he was the one out of the five that we should have kept.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yeah, Brandon Ingram sucks. Lonzo Ball sucks. Josh Hart sucks. Jordan Clarkson sucks. Who else? Larry Nance sucks. Ivica Zubac sucks.
Is Kuzma up for contract this year?
No.
Okay. Because you're saying
this is his third year. He's up after next year.
So you're saying that you you'd want to pay $100 million to someone in the in the bubble games, averaging 15 points a game, 4 rebounds, and 1.5 assists per game. That's your $100 million man.
Yeah. Okay. So here's why. Because he's just good now, and there's no arguing it. Okay.
Let's revisit this conversation in 2 weeks. Let's say.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
All I will say is that, like, I just think that this would be a great team to have Lonzo Ball on right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, if we had Lonzo, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, I just think it would be very. I'd feel more confident in them defensively. I would feel way more confident in having Lonzo Ball guard Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
He would still get beat. He'd still get crossed up and all that stuff, but I just would have more confidence.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
I still just love the idea of a player that, I guess, I think part of it is that now pretty much every player that we, that comes to prominence in the league is somebody who scores and demands, doesn't demand, but like has high usage.
Yeah.
You know, and Lonzo was like a little glimpse into like, oh, there used to be players that weren't like that necessarily. And also those kind of players can be useful on teams.
Yeah, they definitely can. I guess my only thing to say about all of that is, why don't we just do a little thing and pull up Lonzo Ball's bubble stats? Why don't we just pull up Lonzo Ball's bubble stats? Let's see. How did he do? Bad, 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 awful, and very bad. no joke. You should look at these stats. They're miserable. He played so bad in the bubble.
He shot 28% from the field from three, which is worse than his bubble stats, than his regular season stats. But he did average almost 7 assists a game.
Okay.
And 5 rebounds a game.
Yeah, 5 rebounds a game. What's the, sorry, did you see how many points he averaged?
But that's my whole point is that
And
he doesn't have to score points.
Did you see what his field goal percentage was and he was shooting 8 shots a game?
30%.
Oh, okay. Just
actually round that up to 31.
Okay, yeah, got it. Okay, we'll round it up to 31. He played like shit, and it's Kyle Kuzma all the way, okay? Based on this small sample size of 6 games for each players, okay?
Right.
It's Kuz, all right?
I will just say that his first year, Lonzo shot 30% from three. Last year, 33. This year, 38.
He's going to be a good player.
His free throws are still bad, but they went from 45% to 57%.
Okay.
And he's still averaging almost 7 assists per game. Finally, I would like to say a heartfelt goodbye to one of the best coaches in the league, Jim Boylan.
Oh, bless his heart. He clocks out for the last time.
But also, like, he has some insane contract, I think.
I think he had like 2 or 3 years left on the contract, something like that.
Like when they gave him the contract, it was like, oh, this is a bad, like, from the moment it was announced, people were like, what? No, bad.
Yeah,
bad choice. Because
he was a bad coach from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that bad.
I think it was bad. It was a weird, like, why are you locking him in kind of situation. And also Vlade Divac, I believe, has left the Kings.
Yes, Vlade Divac has left the Kings.
So I'm excited about these playoffs. I am a little surprised. I don't know if you've seen this, but like a lot of the TV ratings for the league are down.
I did see that. I saw that TV ratings were down.
I'm curious.
Because people are just going to see the games in person.
That's right. In fact, when you see those Zoom heads in Microsoft Teams, those are all the people in the whole world that were interested in seeing those games.
Ooh, oof. I don't know why the league is dealing with that right now. I think the playoffs will bump it.
I think the playoffs will bump it. I also think that I almost feel like when we get to the playoffs, it's going to feel these games feel weird and they don't feel normal, even as normal as they have tried to make them feel. But the bubble feels weird. The schedule feels weird. A lot of it feels off. When it's just one team versus the other for a best of 7, I think it will resemble more. And the closer it gets to like, oh, my team might actually win a championship. I don't care if there's an asterisk next to it or whatever. This is a championship this year. Like, yeah. I don't think, you know, if LeBron wins a championship this year, only LeBron haters like me will say that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But I won't be saying that this year because it'll be for the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the prospect that the Lakers were going to legitimately compete for another championship, even 2 years ago, seemed kind of crazy.
Yeah. And now they're there.
They're there. They're right there. So,
there we go.
Casey, do you have any shows coming up this week?
No, I am showless. Oh, oh shit. No, I do. I have a show.
Oh.
I forgot. Tuesday at 6 p.m., I'm a guest on the Godsey and Burns show on Twitch. You can catch them at twitch.tv/Godsey and Burns. And I will be talking about what it's like to plan a marriage or an engagement during COVID.
Nice.
It is not a comedy show. We are just going to be chatting. I'm being interviewed. We're just talking marriage stuff.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Be a fun little show. I like their show. They're weird dudes and I love them for it. So it's a fun little show that they like. They were doing some comedy, were doing some bits, and then they just like turned it into a talk show during quarantine.
Cool. I don't have any shows this week. I just want to remind yourself, the last game of the week that we had was it Thunder Lakers?
Yes. No, it was Thunder. The last game that we watched the game this week, it was Thunder and Jazz, I believe, was the game that I watched. We didn't talk about it at all because it didn't matter, and it wasn't that good of a game.
Who won that game? I forget.
It was the Thunder.
We need to remember that the Thunder our first game of the week for next season is Thunder.
Yes.
Okay. I'm excited. Playoffs start tomorrow.
Playoffs start tomorrow.
There's like four games, I think, right?
Four games.
And finally, I don't know if I mentioned last week. I think it's still valid. I apologize if it's not. But didn't you once tell me about T-Mobile Tuesdays?
Yes, I did.
They had a thing recently of like, you get a year of The Athletic.
Yes,
they did. So anybody who has T-Mobile
and does not already have an Athletic subscription or an email account associated with one.
Yes. Oh, by the way, the Pelicans fired Alvin Gentry.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that happened too. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? We got playoffs to watch.
Playoffs, baby.
Okay, we'll see you next week with some reactions to this week's playoff games. The game of the week is all the games.
Watch every game. Don't not watch any game.
Same. I'll commit to that.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.